will show the world what the ultimate bioweapon looks like when I let loose Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew upon Chris Redfield and his unnervingly hot little sister. Oh. Oh, yes. Right here on this weekendgeek.net.
Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. Movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to This Week in Geek, and this is the topic show for the month of April. I'm Mike the Birdman Dodd, and this month we are going to delve into the S.H.I.E.L.D. archives, because it is all connected. We are talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but I'm not alone as we walk down the deck of the helicarrier. I'm joined with one of the many hosts of Movie Madness,
Andrew Randrew Roebuck,
and his long-awaited return from the Geekcast Radio Network.
TFG and Mike.
So, I'm excited to do this, but as always, this show would not be possible without the good folks over at offworlddesigns.com, who supply all my kick-ass t-shirts. Use coupon code BROHOOF for 10% off your entire order. Now, that code will be changing soon, so I'm going to try and get you guys a good deal. Still, check them out. Also, gameaccess.ca, Canada's number one source for online video rental content. OneUpYourLife.com, Star Trek, SFI.org, the world's largest Star Trek online fan club, and Big and Tall Mart, which has just changed their promo for us. If you use the code GEEK10 on checkout, you get 10% off your orders of $35 or more. Cannot recommend Mark and those guys enough. They kick ass. All right, so now that I've got all the sponsor stuff out of the way, how the hell has everyone been? Andrew, I haven't heard you in, like, forever.
Oh, I've been good, just job searching mostly, and other than that, same old with me.
Hopefully we'll get more episodes of Movie Madness out of you, me, and Scotty, hopefully next month.
Oh, I'd love to, hopefully.
Because Dave has defected to North Korea, which I don't know if we've actually mentioned that on a show yet.
So wait a second, you're telling me we sent the Canadian version of James Bond into North Korea for some other enemy?
Oh,
yikes.
Yes, oh my god,
the Canadian version.
Talk about Dave dying another day.
I am hoping he comes back with some hot wife. Come on, Dave, my fingers are crossed for you, buddy.
I don't know. Knowing the field he's in, it might be a child bride.
Oh my god, he's gonna end up with some Thai lady boy. Anyway, now that I've gone that offensive hole, what have you been up to, Blanchard?
Oh my god, it's been so long since I've been on a Twig show, because I have been putting every fiber of my being into the Geekcast Radio Network. We have got so much going on right now. We are in the middle of launching the Year 5 site, which will take us hopefully through Year 5, through maybe even 10 years online. We are currently celebrating our 5th year anniversary. We've got a contest going on. Last year I launched the Pullbag, which is our comic review and discussion-based podcast. Let's see what else. We've got MWire still going on. Tooncast Beyond will be coming back. We have got several awesome new interviews this year so far. We just talked with Dr. Andrea Letamendi and Brian Ward about their show, The Arkham Sessions, which it's probably the most unique review-style podcast I've ever seen. And Dr. Andrea Letamendi is a clinical psychologist who has a healthy obsession with Batman, and she analyzes, they go one episode per podcast of Batman the Animated Series and analyze it in depth as to what how she would treat certain afflictions that the BTAS characters have. It's simply amazing. Let's see. We interviewed Starscream's daughter, Abby Collins, who is Chris Collins' daughter. Most people will know him as Chris Latta from G.I. Joe and Transformers. We've just got a lot going on right now.
Wow, that's really awesome, actually.
A lot of stuff. A lot of stuff going on.
Good stuff. I know for here on Twig, Scotty finally got the second reboot of his anime show going with Erica Sailor Senshi Sabo from These Warriors Are Terrible, which is going tremendously well as of this recording. I think the debrief for my Neon Genesis Evangelion campaign should be going up soon, if it's not already up, where I actually made Erica and Connell cry. That was, oh my god, one of the most intense role-playing sessions I think I've ever done in my life. But it was a retarded amount of fun to actually present that story. Because I've had that story brewing since high school.
Wow.
That was actually my grade 13 thesis for creative writing.
Awesome.
Was that story. So I've had to change a few details here and there. But anyway, you can find out that over on thesewarriorsareterrible.com if you want to hear that role-playing session. I don't know what one I'm GMing next. I know I'm doing one with Tom White in the next little bit, I think, on the game Wild Talents, and I think Ecox got one for something called Machine Geist, I think, I don't know, and that should be coming up in the next couple of weeks, and I know there's a sequel to the Pokemon game coming up with Julian and a few others. But anyway, you are not here to hear about this, you are here to hear about the Marvel Cinematic Universe that began with Iron Man, but before we do that, here are just the facts. In the early 2000s, superhero films were growing in popularity. Popular franchises had popped out of many famous Marvel properties. In 2008, Marvel decided to take it upon themselves to create a cinematic universe of their own, starting with Iron Man and the Hulk. They succeeded where studios had failed previously. Iron Man prior to 2008 was a B-list hero at best, and the Hulk already had one cinematic flop by the time Marvel had made their own. Iron Man impressed critics and audiences alike in such a way that vaulted Robert Downey Jr. into stardom. In 2010, Iron Man got a sequel and the possibility of an Avengers film loomed on the horizon. 2011 brought even more Marvel heroes to the screen with Thor and Captain America. The five films culminated into now what is known as Phase 1 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe with The Avengers in 2012, which combined all the heroes from the previous film under the helm of nerd icon Joss Whedon. The Avengers was a huge box office success that many now consider to be the undisputed master among the superhero genre. The popularity of the film allowed for the universe to expand in ways never thought possible. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was announced to hit the small screen on ABC, and Marvel revealed its intentions to introduce even more characters in its Phase 2 initiative. Phase 2 included films such as Iron Man 3, Thor the Dark World, Captain America the Winter Soldier, and Guardians of the Galaxy, and finally, The Avengers Age of Ultron. With Phase 2 well underway, the newly announced Netflix shows Marvel shows continue to look promising as they continue its merry march into the future.
I feel like you're driving me to a court-martial, Michael Todd.
Well, what can I say? So, we are back here on the topic show for the month of April here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. And, well, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that Just the Facts was actually written by Andrew, read by me. So, thank you for that, Roebuck.
No worries. Always glad to give you Just the Facts.
Ooh, exciting. So, yes, guys, this month has been a big thing for Marvel. Captain America, the Winter Soldier, still doing tremendously well at the box office. We've got a whole bunch of new information involving Guardians of the Galaxy. Thanos is confirmed to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. I think he's actually been cast. And supposedly Marvel has everything mapped out to, I think, 2028, if I'm not mistaken.
Those were the news articles that came out a while ago. Yeah, there was some list somewhere, something, yeah.
I just want to go into Kevin Feige's office with my iPhone, snap as many pictures as I can, and dump it to, like, Reddit.
I wonder if that includes contracts that go to 2028, because I don't imagine so. So they may have to have some changes.
Well, they'd be stupid not to pay certain actors to come back. Although, supposedly, Chris Evans says once he's done with Captain America 3, he's done.
Yeah.
Which, he's a good Cap, but I could handle if like someone else were to take it up. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but you can't replace Robert Downey Jr.
Well, you might have to. He's getting up there in age. I mean, he still looks good for his age. I mean, he's, what, 50-something or other, and I mean, you know, he's not going to want to play that role forever.
I don't know. If they keep backing up the dump trucks full of money to his house...
That's what people yeah. say about Michael Bay and Transformers. So basically, you're comparing the two. Great.
Yeah.
You know, here's the thing with the contracts and the like. If Marvel has a list somewhere that says this is our plan until 2028, that's all well and good. But I kind of learned my lesson on reporting about the Ben Affleck thing with Batman, where supposedly he has some deal for like 14, 15 things. And then someone pointed out to me, well, what if that's just appearances and not actual films? So granted, in the Marvel case, they're not just going to have Tony Stark appear in, you know, end credit scene after end credit scene after end credit scene. But honestly, what's for me, it's like, I just want Iron Man 4. Like, after Age of Ultron, I want another Iron Man movie. I liked Winter Soldier. I seriously don't think that they would ever do another Hulk film by himself. I wish they would if it was going to be Ruffalo. And see, I'm so glad I won this episode because you asshole, Dot. I told you from the very beginning when he was cast that he was going to be a good damn Hulk. And everybody made fun of me on Nerd News.
I remember when it was you, me, and Ryan, and we nicknamed Nerd News the Mark Ruffalo Report.
Exactly, you jerks. Assholes.
It's true. He's a tremendously good Hulk, and he really deserves his own flick. He really does. And I think it might be smart for them to maybe give him an extended one shot. I mean, maybe put some real money into it. Mm-hmm. And if that does really well, see what happens.
Yeah. I almost think a good route to go with Hulk is maybe do a Hulk and Iron Man film. So Iron Man 4 could be focused on the two of them, because given the end of the Avengers, they seem like they had a really good buddy-buddy thing going on. And even in the after credit scene in Iron Man 3, you still see them hanging out. It would be interesting to see them get a full film, just the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not that kind of doctor, Mr. Stark.
Now, here's my question. What does Mark Ruffalo... I know he does a lot of acting, but does he have any really like kind of steady gigs?
Not really. As far as I know, he's not on any TV shows, and he's not like really dedicated. I think out of all of the cast, he's probably the one that they'll be able to keep along the longest, because he just needs to be chill.
I want to know why they haven't bothered to try to bring him into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. If Mark Ruffalo's not that busy, get him on set for like 2 days.
See, here's the thing. He's going to have to... granted, this film may or may not get a sequel, and it may or may not end up being a franchise, but he was Dylan Rhodes in Now You See Me. So he had that going on last year. This year he's got Infinitely Polar Bear, Foxcatcher, and The Normal Heart. I don't know. I'm just looking at the list on Wikipedia. It says it's a TV movie, so it's probably something, you know. It's
like ABC or something.
That or Sci-Fi or Sci-Fi or whatever the hell they call that channel now. You know, most of the stuff that people might know him from, he was Yates in The Last Castle with Robert Redford. That's going to be interesting. If they have Hulk, and I'm trying to remember, didn't that guy live in Cap? I saw Winter, not Bucky, Redford's character.
He shot him dead.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, He's had a bunch of really, really good films. Let's see, Last Castle. He was in Wind Talkers with Nicolas Cage. He was married to Elektra in 13 Going on 30 at the end of that movie with Jennifer Gardner.
Isn't that movie like 10 years old now?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
I'm so old.
I'm just trying to find the popular ones that he's done, honestly, outside of the Marvel stuff. That's really all I'm trying to do here.
See, I think, honestly, it would be if S.H.I.E.L.D. gets renewed for a second season, and it likely will, mm-hmm. I think it'd be really smart for them to bring in Ruffalo. I mean, let's say the average episode order is like 22, 24 episodes. Get mm-hmm. him for three and air them during sweeps. I guarantee you people will turn in, especially if ABC Disney pumps some money into it. Let them transform into the Hulk once, do one really good scene, and that's it. That will drive people to that episode in droves.
I gotta tell you, Mike, I don't know how long Agents is going to last, because I just did a podcast, depending on when this airs, about a week ago, and I saw a link where the show, as of this recording, has not been renewed. So here's my question for you guys. Do you guys think that they can improve upon the show to make it better, or does it need to rely on being, hey, we're the Marvel film tie-in property?
See, I think it does, especially since Winter Soldier has opened. I know after the weekend it aired, it wasn't doing super hot, but then after, I think the ratings have been going up, mm-hmm. especially since they introduced Patton Oswalt's character, although now that he's dead. But anyway, mm-hmm. point is that I know there was talk, and I can't remember where I read this, that they're going to hold off on announcing it till after the season finale, which has confirmed Sam Jackson as a character,
right.
as an appearance, and Kobe Smulders as Maria Hill.
Yeah.
They would be stupid not to renew it for a second season because it ties in so closely to Age of Ultron. Plus, that's the main thing that will keep people in the MCU, because Guardians of the Galaxy, they've already said, this film can stand on its own if it had to, because its influence on the Marvel movies will be minimal at best, they've said. So in order to keep the MCU in the public eye, it would be great for them to use Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 as nothing but an Avengers 2 promo. Mm-hmm. Because if they put the money into getting Ruffalo there, get a cameo from Stark, or, you know, like, there are so many possibilities for cameos, and now that they're deciding, hey, we can't drag people around for 6 or 7 episodes with no supervillains, they've learned their lessons in the back end of this season.
Yeah.
They also have a lot of room to expand on the Hulk. The Hulk movie in 2008 had a lot of little threads that never really got brought up back into the Marvel universe as a whole. So they could go in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and do something with the Leader or the Abomination, because the Abomination is still alive at the end of the Incredible Hulk 2008 movie, and the Leader was teased. So they do have like supervillains that aren't doing anything right now that they could bring into the show in a second season, and it would perfectly go with like Ruffalo being in the show.
Well, there was something I was watching, All Hail the King, before we actually did this show, and I caught something at the end of that. They tell Trevor they're breaking him out of prison to meet the real Mandarin. The Ten Rings terrorist group is still around, which means even if in the unlikely event they tie off somewhat this big Hydra threat at the end of season 1 for S.H.I.E.L.D., they've still got the Ten Rings. And there's also groups like The Hand, which ties into the Netflix series for Iron Fist and Daredevil, because Elektra was trained by The Hand, and I'm pretty sure Stick was also a Hand-trained guy who trained Matt Murdock. So there's so many loose ends that I think season 2 would have a lot going forward.
It's going to be interesting to see how they're going to work in all these things.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things about the MCU, and it's never been done really outside of, like, say, the Alien versus Predator movies, is to create this cohesive universe. with a straight line, more or less, continuity running through everything. And the fact that events on the television show can influence the movies and vice versa. However, that being said, the first time S.H.I.E.L.D., for example, tried to tie in Thor into the show, it was really fucking dumb.
I don't know. I kind of liked that episode. Well, I thought it was an interesting angle to take with other Asgardians and the whole staff thing.
Well, the thing that makes me mad about it is what happened to that creature that's just running around from the ice giant world?
Oh, yeah. They probably should have picked up on that thread.
And the fact that it just gets kind of a passing mention. They're like, oh, yeah, by the way, London's screwed up. We sent S.H.I.E.L.D. to go clean it up. You know, and then when Winter Soldier happened, that genuinely meant something. It's like, oh, shit. Oh, hail Hydra.
It genuinely meant something, the fact that Gary Shandling is a Hydra agent. I could have seen that coming.
which that kind of paints the previous movies. I mean, really think about
it
that.
It does, yeah.
Because Gary Shandling, you see him, he's just a douchebag. You kind of wonder, he's a senator, which means what kind of control was he weaving the whole time? And that kind of brings me up to another point that I want to talk about, the Marvel Universe. Now, me, Roebuck, and Blanchett have posted this picture on Facebook, and it's from a page, I think, called Continuity Issues.
Uh-huh.
And it has Captain America,
Bruce Banner,
and Tony Stark standing in a room, and Tony says to everybody, in a few hours, I'll know every dirty secret S.H.I.E.L.D. has ever tried to hide. You missed a pretty big goddamn one, didn't you?
Well, even not even Nick Fury knew that one, though. So, like, I feel like probably it was buried deep enough that even Tony Stark probably couldn't.
Yeah, and there is an argument going on my Facebook between a few of my different friends, a guy named Ken and Brandon. I think it's something like 10 comments deep now about this particular issue. But that's one thing about Marvel is that they leave enough room in their movies and in their shows. If they have to go back and correct something via continuity, they can.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know if other shows like, say, Arrow and The Flash will get a chance to do that. Then again, I don't even know whether Arrow and Flash will take place in the same universe as Man of Steel.
Oh, they don't. They won't.
That's a whole other podcast. Oh, my God. Don't even start.
Which, that's something we're going to talk about later in the show, basically how other companies are starting to react to the success of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Now, one of the first questions that I want to pose to you guys is, when did you get into this? Because I remember when Iron Man came out back in 2008, which means I would have been second year college, and Iron Man at that time, to me, was kind of a second-rate character who gives a shit. But I think this is when Civil War was going on in the comics. So it was kind of a big deal. And it made everybody interested in the Marvel Universe again, because I think that's when Marvel Studios had just got the rights to do whatever they wanted.
And for the most part, with the exception of Fox and Sony.
Yeah, which that's another thing I want to talk about after we finish this one is the fact that the Marvel Universe survives without the X-Men, the Fantastic Four, and Spider-Man is kind of impressive. The fact that I don't care that they're not there.
Yeah, replace kind of with holy crap, how did you do this impressive?
Yeah, I mean, your big marquee franchises are not under your control, and yet you've somehow managed to make me give a shit about Black Widow and Thor, two characters I knew marginally about.
I still don't give a shit about Thor. I didn't like the first film.
Neither did I, honestly.
I saw the second film as, hey, let's play out the family drama. Let's have your mother killed and then set you on a path to revenge. I just cannot relate. Like, Thor with the rest of the Avengers in the Avengers, I like. I like that Thor. I like the comedic Thor in Superhero Squad show. But Thor on his own, I just don't give a damn.
See, I would disagree with you on that one. Simply, I think Thor 2 found what it had to be. Thor 1 was nothing but a setup film to me. Like, here's the universe, Guardians, alien technology, but it's really magic or whatever. Okay, fine, here's your drama, here's the destroyer, who gives a shit. With Thor the Dark World, I liked the atmosphere it had. I liked the movie, and this is an argument I was going to make, and I guess I'll make my point here, which you guys will immediately tear apart. I think it's the Marvel movie in some ways that has the least impact on the universe as a whole.
Well, that's probably true, aside from the after credit scene and the Loki setup, because I wonder if the Loki setup will be taken... Well, have significance in other Marvel movies, because the thing where you were kind of, guys were both talking about Thor, I was thinking to myself, well, I'm not a really big fan of Thor, but I think Loki is the reason why those movies are so good.
Oh my god, and the fact that there's this ridiculously huge fandom around Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, exactly. So
he's a wicked Loki, though. You can't deny that.
The fandom around that actor is almost as creepy as bronies are.
That's not... Hey. Don't open that can of worms.
I don't know.
Took you a minute there, didn't
I? I had women describe this, and I quote, whenever Tom Hiddleston is on screen, beware the splash zone. End quote. I'm not going to say who said that, but they're sploosh.
Oh my god.
And I'm like, oh my god, really? God. But that's the thing, though. They made Loki a villain that was legitimately cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, in the comics, for a long time, he was a chump. Mm-hmm. And now the Marvel Universe has actually made him legitimately funny and cool. He's a villain you really give a shit about. In fact, I'd rather almost see a Loki movie than a Thor movie.
They could do it. They have a really good comic series going on right now called Loki, Agent of Asgard. And it's like clearly movie Loki is starring in the comic book. And they could really take that and do, like, its own movie or TV show just to kind of parody Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. almost with Loki as a titular character.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where I'm surprised. Actually, you know what? Here's a weakness of the Marvel Universe, I think, so far. The heroes are really well thought out, but the villains kind of suck. And I want you guys to really think about that, because... Iron Monger from the first Iron Man was legit.
Yeah.
He was a good villain. I liked him. Obadiah Stane was neat. Whiplash? Who gives a shit? He talked about his bird for about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, he was cool in the trailer, and then when you saw him, you're like, oh, this is it? This is all he is? Like, ugh. And then, Justin Hammer, though.
Justin Hammer was good, like, but underutilized.
Yeah, he should come back.
I have never liked Justin Hammer. Even in the Iron Man 94 cartoon series where he was an old man, he's always... Every time I've seen his character in the Iron Man cartoon series or even in the film, he's always a douchebag sidekick to a larger villain, whether it be Fing Fam Foom in the cartoon series, whether it be Whiplash in the film. To me, what I love best about Iron Man 2, and I will defend this till I die, is that... For me, it was like the Armor Wars. It was like seeing Armor Wars on the screen.
It's about as close as you were probably going to get to an Armor Wars.
Right, exactly. Well, see, here's the thing. They should have saved Whiplash for an Iron Man 4, 5, or 6 and used Crimson Dynamo in the second one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would have been way better. But although Crimson Dynamo would have almost been like Obadiah Stane.
2.0.
Yeah. It might just be like a rehash of that.
And so the next villain we have, Loki notwithstanding, because he's mm-hmm. obviously the Thor one. The
Destroyer armor is cool. See, I like the Destroyer armor in that.
I thought that fight wrapped up way too quickly in the movie.
Yeah, he really shouldn't have been able to defeat the Destroyer armor, but
he bit-slapped him in about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, that was kind of sad.
The Abomination... Emil Blonsky, good villain. Good use of the villain.
So good. I'm so mad they haven't brought him back. I love the scene where, like, he go, like, before he becomes Abomination, and he just goes up to the Hulk, and then the Hulk just kicks him, and he just slams right into that tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now we get into, I'm trying to think, what comes after, what came after Hulk and Thor? Was that the Avengers next? No, that was Cap.
No, it was Cap. It goes Cap. Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, and then Cap First Avenger. Now, Cap First Avenger was the film that, up till that point, I knew of the Spider-Man animated series crossover, Six Forgotten Warriors, where they kind of placed him and Red Skull in it. And I'd seen the funny version, the parody version of him in Superhero Squad show, where they play up the America thing way too much. But this movie really got me into Cap. I'm kind of sad, though, about this, because we can never have Chris Evans as the Human Torch ever again, which sucks, because he was a damn good... Shut up. He was a damn good Human Torch.
No, nothing about those movies were good.
Oh, shut up.
See, I think the casting in those movies was great, but the story was shit for both of them.
Yeah. With Cap, you have Agent Smith and Megatron as Red Skull. You have Hugo Weaving as Red Skull. That's by far some of the best casting I've ever seen in a superhero film villain.
My guess is they'll find a way to bring him back.
Oh, it's easy to bring him back. Like, he just goes up with the cosmic cube at the end. Like, yeah, he doesn't really die. He almost has the same, like, demise that, like, Loki does in the first
Thor movie.
So, like, he'll easily come back, hopefully.
That's kind of what I'm thinking, too. So, Avengers had Loki and the Chitauri, a.k.a. the Skrulls, no matter how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And those were great. Those were great. They actually made those villains were cool.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had Malekith for Thor the Dark World. No, sorry.
No, you had Mandarin and fake Mandarin for Iron Man 3.
And the Extremis virus, which was something they started to use this in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and then just kind of forgot about it.
Yeah, they're like, it's not in any of the movies anymore. We'll just sweep this under the table.
Which kind of sucks, because I think Extremis would have been a really cool thing for them to mess around with during the whole season. But anyway... Iron Man 3 had weak as fuck villains, which really sucks.
Well, see, here's the thing with Iron Man 3. I understand Shane Black, who is mostly famous for the Lethal Weapon movies as far as scripting and all that. Here's the thing with Iron Man 3. They were trying to create their own version of the Mandarin. That's why there were two. The fact that it was an actor for the one that we mostly know about is a little weird to me, but I see what they were going for.
It was a good rug pull.
Yeah, pretty much. And with, what's his name? Killian, being the true face of the Mandarin. I'm wondering if somehow, I don't think they'll be able to bring him back, but...
he was a lame build anyway.
I'm wondering what they're going to do if they do anything with the Mandarin in the future, because, as I said earlier with Justin Hammer and Fing Fang Foom, the Mandarin was also a ploy for Fing Fang Foom event. I just want to see the damn dragon. If the fucking Hobbit can put a fucking dragon in a movie, come on now!
See, I wonder if they'll bring the Mandarin as a threat, as an underlying threat for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2, because they are hinting towards it, so they could use the TV show to build him up.
Yeah, that's true. I almost thought that Seth Killian in Iron Man 3, with him blowing fire and he has the prominent dragon tattoo, I thought that was the closest we're going to get to a Fing Fang Foom. I thought basically that was them going like, here's your dragon, kind of, and be happy. Shut up.
Yeah, I mean, that movie, I liked Iron Man 3, but if you want to see a really funny video, I think go watch Cinema Sins. I think it's like Everything Wrong with Iron Man 3 and I think 13 minutes. Oh, and you realize just how screwed up that movie actually is. But, okay, so now then we go to Thor the Dark World in Malekith. In my opinion, great villain, great actor, underutilized. I mean, like Thor the Dark World. Let's get this out of the way first. I think it was funny. It was well-paced. It was a good movie, but ultimately it was like, who gives a shit? Mm-hmm. I think it had the least impact on the whole outside of the fact that Loki now sits on the throne. So what happened to Odin? And Jane and Thor are now together, yay. And the Nine Realms are safe, or whatever. It felt kind of like an afterthought. And then we get the Winter Soldier in Captain America, who, despite the movie being named after him, is really not in it all that much.
He is, but I honestly think that's going to be set up for whatever Cap 3 does, or if the Winter Soldier might appear in an end or mid-credits scene for Ultron, or he's gonna come. I mean, hell, he was in the mid-credits scene in his own movie, you know, saving Cap. So I'm wondering how they're gonna use him in the future.
In the comics, he ends up replacing Captain America for a while, and given that Chris Evans says Captain America 3 will be his last movie, I wouldn't be surprised if they do the old switcheroo and he's the new Captain America.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll see a version of Civil War on the screen where Captain America dies and he has to take over the role.
It would be good, but they'd have to introduce a lot more characters in order for us to kind of care that they're fighting. Because, like, at this point, it would just be like, so whoever has Thor wins. Like, Thor's like, all right, I'll be with these guys. Everyone else dead.
Pretty much. And now we have, later on this year, we have Guardians of the Galaxy, which does introduce Thanos, who will be the villain of Avengers 3, as far as we can all tell.
See, I'm kind of pissed at that, because they teased us with Thanos at the end of Avengers, and now we're not getting him until the third movie.
I like how they're taking their time with it, yeah. But I think they need to speed it up a little bit more. Not too much, because you don't want to fuck it up.
Right.
And that's something else, too. These movies have introduced the concept of the Infinity Gauntlet and the gems without outright saying it. You've seen it in the background. Loki's staff has the mind gem, and I think that's been confirmed.
Yeah, and the Aether in Thor 2, no, I'm pretty sure that's power, because of basically he just was super powerful when he had it.
And,
but it's debatable.
And then the Cosmic Cube was the Cosmic Cube, and they give another thing. Don't they give two stones to the Collector during the mid-credits scene in Thor 2?
I think they give him one, and he then mentions that he makes a reference like he has another, and there's like four to go or something like that.
Yeah, so there's mind, space, reality, time. What am I missing? Have I said power?
No.
Power, and I don't know. I used to know because that was one of my favorite stories in the 90s.
That series is amazing.
But yeah, I mean, I like how they're taking their time, although I don't know whether Ultron was a good choice of a villain. Because, and here's what I mean by that. Ultron, I think, needs the proper setup. And they've openly said it's not going to be Hank Pym who creates him. He's going to be like a spinoff of Jarvis or something. He's going to be like a military AI version of Jarvis.
Yeah, I wonder how they're going to do that. I originally thought that it was just going to be Jarvis and that it would be like basically, that AI. But then they said he's going to be Vision, which I think is dumb.
See, I don't think that's a terrible idea. In fact, do you guys remember earlier this year, there was a lot of talk that Coulson was going to be Vision?
Yeah, I thought that was going to be awesome.
That would have been really cool.
I was waiting for Coulson to be Vision since, like, 2 years prior to Avengers, because everyone was like, oh, Coulson's probably going to die. And
I'll say this right now. One reason why I've only seen the first 7 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is because loathe the fact that they brought him back. It defeats the purpose of him, quote-unquote, dying in Avengers. If they were going to bring him back, make him the damn life model decoy.
Well, they do kind of address why he's back, and it does set up stuff for potentially future Marvel movies. The actress that plays Sky, Chloe something or other, Bennett, I think her name is, she was at a convention a couple of weeks ago, and when they talk about why Coulson came back for Project Tahiti, he was brought back by some serum that was made from a Kree soldier's blood. Which means S.H.I.E.L.D. has extraterrestrial tech that isn't Chitauri.
It's interesting because even in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., when Coulson is kind of bringing up the Kree to, what's the warrior princess's name from Asgard?
Sif,
yeah. She's even like, oh, I've never heard of any of those ones. And so it'll be interesting to see how they bring the Kree into the universe, because they're interesting, to say the least.
And I wonder if that's how they'll tie that to Guardians as well, if we'll see Kree soldiers in there. Because because I remember a lot of people were talking, like, is that a Frost Giant? Is that a Chitauri without his armor? Because a lot of us just didn't know, but then she openly said it. Oh, it's a Kree. But then she had to retract that statement, I think. So it's probably a Kree.
Hopefully. I just hope we get to see the Supreme Intelligence on the big screen.
You know,
because that thing is ridiculous looking.
One of the things I'd like to see in the MCU, and this could either be pulled off on S.H.I.E.L.D. or any other series, I think MODOK
would work.
In fact, I thought that's who the Clairvoyant was going to be.
I wish the Clairvoyant was MODOK. That would have been so cool.
And it would have been neat because then they could have brought in AIM as a bad guy again. Or if they wanted to do HYDRA before the Winter Soldier crap happened, they could have done that as well. And that's the thing, though. With the Marvel Universe, they give you just enough where us comic nerds or people who've been fringe Marvel fans for years, we can speculate. And admittedly, some of our speculation is a lot better than what we actually get. Well, that's the thing. When they revealed the Clairvoyant is fucking Hudson from Aliens, I'm like, really?
You're like, game over, man.
Oh, and that's the thing, though, because I thought the Clairvoyant was going to be MODOK, and then when I saw Winter Soldier, I assumed it was Armin Zola, but it wasn't. It was John Garrett, a guy who knew how to Google the S.H.I.E.L.D. database.
I kind of enjoy, I understand why you wouldn't be a big fan of it, but I kind of enjoyed that reveal because I was like, oh, this is just the show's villain. Like, this is not going to be, this is a guy that the show can dispatch. Whereas if they introduce someone like MODOK or any of the other people you were saying, it'd be like, well, it'd be hard to justify defeating them in an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. show. You know what I mean?
Maybe if they were the big bad over the course of the season.
Yeah, maybe. But I just feel that a lot of fans would be upset if they saw MODOK get dispatched in a TV show.
Yeah. I mean, okay, fair enough. And that's another thing to talk about. Netflix has received the exclusive rights to do 4 Marvel series. They get Jessica Jones, they get Luke Cage, Daredevil, and who am I missing here?
Iron Fist?
Iron Fist.
Yeah.
And then that will tie into a miniseries called The Defenders.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited for this. I think out of all of them, the one I'm most pumped for is the Daredevil show, because I got really into Daredevil recently, and I think Drew Goddard is a great person to helm the character. I just hope they have a fat Foggy Nelson.
I would love to see them bring
John
back
Favreau's
John.
Not yeah. doing anything right about now.
I was
going to
say, bring back yeah. Favreau. That'd be great.
Bring back Favreau.
But yeah, I mean, Netflix has the potential to really expand the universe as well, too. And it can be separate from the film universe, despite the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't, you know. Because the Marvel Universe, it's now diversifying. There's comic books that are in continuity with the movies now. I didn't know this until yesterday.
Wait, really? Like, yeah. And it's not just like tie-in books for the movies? Like, are they actually series right now?
Yeah, they are 1 or 2 shots that happen to bridge events, or they tell you a side story, but they're considered in canon for the MCU.
Yeah, they started doing that with Iron Man 3, because I have the Iron Man 3 prequel two-shot story where it tells the events of what Rhodey is doing during the Battle of New York. And it sets up Iron Man 3 and AIM and all that stuff.
Which I kind of wonder if this is where Marvel may get a little bit too ambitious. Because the fact that they do have this great plan until, like we said, 2028, and now you've got comics, you've got TV, you have exclusive streaming shows, are you going to lose the main audiences here? Or are you going to attract new ones that may only stick to the Daredevil series or something like that? Because I don't see how that brings in money. Personally, I don't understand the business model for Netflix. But I understand when you make a movie, it's built on box office. How many asses are in seats, right?
I feel like another theory is that basically the Netflix show and everything else is setting up the next string of Avengers. So I imagine that after Avengers 3 or Avengers 4, they'll end up doing new Avengers, which will, as you say, kind of diversify the market, but I think it might also bring everyone together from like the Netflix to the movies and the little comic book stuff and bring it all together, have it all coalesce in one new Avengers movie or something of that nature, I imagine.
Mm-hmm. So I guess looking at this, where would you guys think things have gone really right with this? I mean, why has DC not done this, for example? Why have other comic book companies not done this? And I think that's a fair question to ask, because Warner Brothers and DC have only had success with really Batman and Superman. Anything else has bombed for whatever reason.
Because they fail at following through. Because DC, I'm sure, has people there that want to do it correctly. But Warner Brothers won't. Warner Brothers, as their parent company, will not back them.
Why do you think that is?
Because Warner Brothers is scared. Warner Brothers is looking at the model over the last 30, 40 years. Superman and Batman work. Regardless of what anyone says or any of our opinions, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin got asses in the seats. Yes, Batman and Robin sucks. It is a bad film. But it got people to see Batman at that time. When Nolan came back with Begins, everybody was like, oh my God, Batman, let's go. You know, I mean, hell, even when, what's his name, Singer decided, hey, I'm going to retell the same fucking story from Superman 2 and try to do it this way and give him a bastard kid, people went and saw that crap.
Which really surprised, because Singer's a really good storyteller. I mean, he did the first two X-Men movies.
Yeah, and he's doing Days of Futures Past, which finally he's doing something right.
I'm looking forward to that one like you have no idea. which there's a hint for next month's topic show. but yeah, I mean, there's so many things that I wonder what has gone wrong. And because Green Lantern had a strong cast, but a shitty story. And the fact that it didn't reference anything else in that universe. And that's the thing with comic book movies. I'm surprised it's taken this long to be a novel idea to, hey, why don't we have everything happen in the same universe? It happens in the books. Why not here?
I imagine that's because rights, at least on Marvel's end that it wasn't done before, was due to the fractured rights. But DC should have been doing this a long time ago. I think DC's problem is that it has awesome people working on TV, and it has a whole different section working on the movies, and they never talk to each other.
Maybe
or
they
the
work
animation.
On opposite sides of the building.
Yeah, like it's just a thing where they can't bring those people together.
Or until recently, they worked on opposite sides of the country, because now DC has closed their New York offices and lost a lot of people because people would not move to LA from New York. Here's the thing with Green Lantern. That movie should have been... It shouldn't have been the goddamn Yellow Fear Monster. It should have just been Sinestro's turn. Yep. Sinestro's eventual turn to evil. That's what it should have been. And personally, my own personal bias, they should have found somebody better than Van fucking Wilder.
See, he's not Hal Jordan. He's Kyle Rayner.
Oh, God, that's even more insulting. Ugh.
See, that's the thing, though. Kyle Rayner's a funny guy. But Ryan Reynolds would have been a perfect Flash.
Yeah. I think that...
Wait. Barry or Wally?
Barry.
Thank God. I was going to say, if you had said the other one, I was going to say, you are dead to me.
Yeah, I mean, that, like I said, that movie, I think it just had the wrong people in charge. Because I thought the guy, Mark Strong playing Sinestro, you could not have cast that any better.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's a wicked Sinestro.
Mm-hmm. I really think that when they introduce Green Lantern in the next series of movies, I bet you they'll go Jon Stewart Green Lantern, just to diversify the cast of the Justice League, which they're building to.
Which, I think that's such a bad idea with Batman Superman 2. They're cramming everybody into it.
Are you kidding me? That's not Batman versus Superman. That's not even Man of Steel 2. That is motherfucking Justice League. Just call it what it is.
It's Justice League Light.
Yeah, I bet you it'll just Justice like League. It'll just be like little cameo appearances from other JLA members, and
like, "Hi, I'm Cyborg. What do you say, Green Lantern? Well, Wonder Woman." That's what's going to end up being like.
I just hope Cyborg is introduced as somebody who got horribly injured by Superman during the end of Man of Steel.
That actually would be a really good origin for him.
He said, "Diet Justice League." All I can think of is, "You got the right one, baby."
Just for the taste of it, Justice League. But yeah, I mean, I don't understand why DC, considering it had a 10 to 20 year head start on the superhero thing, they didn't do this first. It blows my mind.
And let's face it, okay, let's go back. All right, let's go back to 1998. Granted, this is not Marvel Studios, but it is Marvel characters. Marvel kicked off with probably, Mike, you could probably agree or disagree with this, is probably one of, not necessarily an obscure character, but not one everyone really knew about unless you're reading comics. They kicked off with Blade, and with New Line Cinema.
And that was a super good series.
Blade was really good.
Yeah. And then, of course, they, you know, 2 years later, you know, Fox has X-Men, and by far the best casting for Wolverine ever.
Yeah.
In Hugh Jackman. You know, you go through the Blade movies, you go through Spider-Man. I'm now of the opinion that Maguire is the poorer Spider-Man of the two.
I think Maguire is a great Peter Parker, but Garfield's a better Spider-Man.
Yeah, I can actually agree with. I don't know.
I would say that Garfield is a better Parker, because Toby, he didn't geek it up too much, but he
was kind of pathetic, and that's what Peter Parker's supposed to be, this nobody kid. Whereas Garfield's somewhat, I wouldn't call him popular, but he's not going to get his ass kicked walking down the hallway.
He was skateboarding. Spider-Man doesn't skateboard.
Extreme.
Then I guess you don't like the fact that he has a spider bike in Spidey.
That's
okay, Spider-Man. Because Spider-Mobile exists. You should have the Spider-Mobile, but I don't.
So they had the Spider-Man movies. Regardless of how bad 3 was, there were some really cool aspects to 3. Like, okay, sure.
Sandman was well cast.
The credits.
Sandman. Oh no! Stop it, Andrew. Sandman was well cast. If you really want to put it in perspective, Mike, have you ever seen the show Wings?
Oh yeah, I fucking love Wings, man. I used to watch that show all the time when I was a kid.
The fucking mechanic is Sandman.
Yeah, LOL.
Thomas Hayden Church is Sandman. Now, okay, granted, putting Eric Foreman as Brock and Venom is kind of stupid, but I can see
what they were going for.
But what they did do well with Venom is the effects of how it latched onto Peter. The liquid effects, the fact that it's showing you that it's alive. That's what I like
about it.
Oh, no, 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 no,
see,
no.
I'll say
the dancing skills.
I will say this for Eric Foreman, Topher Grace. He was a good Eddie Brock in this sense. He was the mirror image of Peter if he let things go. Shitty looking Venom, because in my opinion, when I think of Venom, I think of the big bodybuilder type. Yeah. I think of someone like a John Cena body type or Vin Diesel, that tough looking motherfucker.
Vin Diesel as Venom would be awesome.
I don't think he'd be a terrible Venom.
Oh my god, I don't think this will ever happen, because this guy is probably so close to retirement, especially after that 21-1. But imagine the Undertaker as Venom.
If you'd gotten the Undertaker 10 years ago,
maybe,
because
now. Now, what I'm saying what I liked about Venom, yes, you're right, Mike. When the actual visual appearance of the character kind of sucked, but what I'm talking about is the symbiote itself and effects on the liquid. That's what I liked. That was badass. Let's see, X2, where Jean Grey supposedly becomes Phoenix, and while she does in the third film, let's see, Electra. Oh God, Electra.
Dark Phoenix was something they should never have done unless it was multi-part.
Yep.
Because they didn't set up the cosmic aspect of it. And well, I think that really hurt.
Yeah, and that's and the other thing that hurt it was the fact that you have Brett Ratner on The Last Stand. Now, I will defend The Last Stand because of the fact that
movie are cool.
I will defend it because of, you know, growing up watching X-Men animated series, Kelsey Grammer is the perfect live-action XTAS beast.
Yeah, that is, he was pretty great. I think that X-Men Last Stand is a perfectly entertaining, fine popcorn movie, but mm-hmm. it's not a good X-Men movie. No.
Yeah. And it's funny because Marvel had such, I wouldn't say, it had a good record before the MCU showed up, all things considered, with the exceptions of like Blade 3, really, and Elektra, it's a bad movie. It really is. And yeah, Blade 3 is disappointing, but not.
I'm one of those people that I have a very low tolerant gag reflex, and I'm not a horror movie fan. And Blade 2 to me was a little too on the horror side, a little bit. So prefer 1 and 3 over 2 for the Blade movies. And I mean, come on, Jessica, what's her name? Jessica Biel in that movie. She was pretty awesome.
Ryan Reynolds was great in that movie.
Oh, all right, let's talk about something else that Ryan Reynolds screwed up. Not necessarily he screwed it up, but the producer screwed it up. X-Men Origins Wolverine, Deadpool. Mm. Oh my
Honestly,
God.
He would have been a great Deadpool
yeah.
if they put him in the costume.
But if they didn't mute him, yeah.
Oh, yeah, when they made him look like such an asshole at the end of that movie.
Oh, yeah, that was bad.
And that's something else, too. I mean, if Marvel, MCU, had the X-Men and the Fantastic Four and Spider-Man, I wonder how things might be different. And I kind of like the way the MCU is now. Because it doesn't have these gigantic characters taking away from everything. I mean, as much as I'd love to see Andrew Garfield interact with, say, Daredevil or even Captain America just to swing on the screen or something, I'm kind of glad they're not together.
Well, I'm kind of glad they're not together either, because it really brings home the fact that, oh my God, how can all these superheroes and superhero factions and teams live in the same goddamn state or city? The fact that Marvel's all Marvel stuff and all Fox's stuff and all Sony stuff takes place in New York. I'm glad Marvel Studios doesn't have the rights to Spidey and X-Men right now, because can you imagine what kind of super team-up that would have to be in the Marvel Universe for Avengers 4, 5, or 6?
And it also forces them to go into, like, more lesser-known heroes, because we'd never get a Guardians of the Galaxy movie if they had X-Men and Spider-Man.
Yeah, here's the thing. If a Punisher movie ever happens again, if it does, there are two things I want. I didn't particularly care for Ray Stevenson as the Punisher. My favorite live-action film Punisher is Thomas Jane. I want him back, and I want it set in L.A.
That, I doubt they'd... Well, they might put in L.A. due to just the overcrowding of New York, but...
That's why I said,
I think the Punisher will end up making at least references on the Daredevil show.
Yeah, the only problem is... Joss Whedon has spoken about how much he hates Punisher, and he doesn't want to bring him into the universe. I saw an article on that not too long ago.
Which is really unfortunate, because the Punisher can be a really good character. The problem is he doesn't fit
Punisher's
in
awesome.
With the MCU, really.
Have you guys seen Confidential? Avengers Confidential? Black Punisher?
No. I kind of avoid a lot of the straight-to-DVD animated.
I'm right there with you. I really do. I do, but... And I'll say, it's not because of the animation style, it's not because of the plots, it's simply because I don't like watching subtitles if it's not in English half the time. So that's why I'm not a fan of anime in general. I respect it for what it's done, but it's just not something I care to, sit here and work at, reading subtitles for 2 hours. But I saw it, it was pretty good, and I think... After seeing it, that regardless of what Whedon says, Punisher could fit somewhere in the background of the Marvel Universe.
I think it'd be great if Matt Murdock always heard about this guy, and maybe he makes an appearance in like the season finale, and he has to fight him. That'd
he's
be
an
cool.
important Daredevil character, so he could definitely fit in there. He's a good antithesis to Daredevil, and they really play off nicely together.
Like, I think that'd be pretty friggin' sweet. Yeah. Other things that were working with the Marvel Universe, the fact that we are getting other characters to get highlights. Like, I'd never heard of Whiplash. Think of that, what you will. But Blanchard said this earlier in the conversation, that's about as close as we're going to get to the Armor Wars storyline. And that's cool. I'm happy for that. If they'd had so many, if they could open up the Marvel vaults and do whatever they wanted, things could probably suck if MCU had access to everything.
Yeah.
I mean, really think about that, because ultimately we probably wouldn't have got Avengers. We would get X-Men movies instead. That's what I really think would happen.
It's true.
Now, ultimately, we might have got Sentinels the fuck of a lot sooner, but at the same time, you need the right people in the right places, and the MCU has picked good directors like Kevin Branagh, the Russo brothers, Joss Whedon, Jon Favreau, and good people at the right time in their careers. If this had happened 10 years ago, we'd be saying, oh my god, I'm so sick of Marvel movies. And
yeah.
I think now the tide is kind of starting to turn, where having two superhero movies a year is just right. You could maybe get away with three.
I think two. Well, see, here's the other thing, and this is probably a topic for another Twig topic show, or maybe even a Twig After Dark. The fact that the summer movie season pretty much starts in friggin' March now, March and April for the most part. And see, here's the thing. If they do, if Marvel continues to do the April-May release, and then maybe a November to, well, okay. If you're going to go three times a year, April or May, and then July, and then possibly November, December, if you're just going to go twice, I would say somewhere between April, May, and July for one, and then November, December for the second.
I'd agree with you on that one. I mean, this year we're only getting two Marvel movies, true MCU. We already got Winter Soldier, and we're getting Guardians.
This year
for Marvel, if you consider everything, we got Winter Soldier, Spider-Man next week, Days of Future Past, Guardians, and I want to say there's one more in there.
That looks like it's it for
four
now.
Four Marvel movies in a year, that's a little much.
Yeah.
And if they had considering
that there's no DC movie at all.
Yeah, this would have been a good year for a Wonder Woman.
Any year would be a good year for a Wonder Woman. Well, they need to just make that movie.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of movie studios, you put movies out in April if you don't give a shit. You want April and August are test months. Mm-hmm. August is when you put stuff you don't expect to do well. If you get put in September, nobody gives a fuck. But if you get put in August, someone cares enough to give you a shot. You're close enough to July, you'll get some residual box office. It matters. And I think DC would have been really smart to put Wonder Woman, even if you put that Gal Gadot, if they cast her like 2 years ago and had a movie come out in August, I really think that would have given Guardians a run for its money. Because fans have wanted a Wonder Woman movie for years. And there's no reason it can't be kick-ass.
Admit this, that I was kind of stupid and wasn't paying attention to the date. I got caught in the fucking April Fool's joke about that they're pushing Man of Steel. I will not call it Batman versus Superman anymore. Man of Steel 2. That they were going to push that and do Wonder Woman before it. I got caught in that April Fool's joke, like, oh, you fuck, it's not real.
See, that's what they should have done. I mean, honestly, Batman versus Superman needs another movie to bridge it and have Superman appear as a supporting character.
Well, see, here's the thing. Why, instead of, and this is one of the, like, in general, I don't hate Comic-Con, but this is one of the reasons why I hate Comic-Con announcements a year before. How long ago has it been since they announced that damn thing, and now it's not happening until 2016 again? So here's the thing. You know, after Man of Steel, why go directly into Batman versus Superman? Why not just make Man of Steel 2 and show... We need to see this new... We need to see Cavill as Clark and Superman before we need to see Daredevil, you know, fight Superman. We need to see more with what they set up in Man of Steel and the repercussions of that movie.
The world needs to be built.
Yeah, and they're not doing that because they want to fast-track Justice League.
Because they're afraid of Marvel. And that's something else that I think this will be our closing discussion here. Mm-hmm. What has the MCU done to the movie industry? What has it done to entertainment in general?
It's turned it upside down.
Yeah,
honestly.
And it's making smart people make stupid decisions. Like this fast track for Justice League. You get one chance to make a good Justice League movie with a budget of $200 million. You get one chance. You fuck that up, you have to wait 10 years plus to get another shot with a budget that might be half that.
Pretty much,
yeah that's
because they're
true.
Gonna say, oh, look what you did back in 2016, you fucked it up. And that's what I'm afraid, because Marvel has, like we discussed earlier, we have comics, we have television, we have movies, we have three mediums that are being literally ambushed by Marvel, which is going to cause a lot of series to start taking stupid risks. For example, I wonder how this is going to affect shows like Arrow and The Flash. Because you wonder how those will tie into a larger universe, and they will now have to compete with shows that likely have more money on Netflix.
Well, see, here's the thing. DC is basically a splintered cell company. They don't know. They may know, but they don't probably know what the left hand is doing when the right hand is off doing something else. Because Arrow and The Flash, the TV shows, they're doing... Well, Flash hasn't happened yet, but Arrow is doing fairly well. And the animated stuff? The animated stuff is its own thing. I mean, that's where DC excels. And it's sad that Warner Brothers will not back them enough on any ideas that they have for feature films.
Yeah, which is depressing, because I think Mask of the Phantasm did pretty good in theaters, I think, didn't it?
No, it didn't, actually.
Wow, that so surprises me.
That's why it went. That's why DC went to...
Direct-to-video stuff.
Direct-to-video. Because the feature... When I say feature film, I mean like Batman 89, Batman and Robin, Dark Knight, you know, that stuff. And really, you know, animated films, unless it's Disney, DreamWorks, Universal,
and
unless
really
it's
big guys.
Yeah, you're not gonna get. Yeah, it's a very big risk. Let me see here. I'm just pulling it up. Box office. Mask of the Phantasm opened Christmas Day '93.
That's the problem. You don't open that movie during Christmas. You open that during the summer.
Yeah,
exactly. Also, didn't it have like a more limited release? Like, it wasn't like huge.
I think it ran in my theater when I was a kid for maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It wasn't there for long.
The Mask of the Phantasm had a $6 million budget. It only made back $5,617,391.
Really?
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. All right, now let's look. All right, let's look at Avengers versus Justice League for just a second. Mike, you said, you know, for 200, what did you say? For 200 million, if they don't do it right, they're screwed.
Yeah, that's what
pretty
I think.
Pretty much, because Avengers budget was 220 million and it made over $1 billion.
And think about this, add the cost of the other movies together, that's technically part of the Avengers budget too. And the argument I make for that is you're building the universe.
Right.
So it was all building towards the end of phase two, I think it is, or whatever.
No, phase one.
Phase one.
Here's how I know about the phases. Phase one started with Iron Man, it ended with Avengers. And then phase two starts with Iron Man 3 and I think ends with Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The problem is not necessarily these companies. Okay, sure, there are problems at Marvel and DC, but the problem is we live in a day and age where Hollywood at large, Hollywood in general, will not give things a chance to breathe or build the universe, as you said. Marvel's done it well because they've succeeded over their, you know, what is it, 6 years since they put out Iron Man. They've done well, and it's done well. But for DC's jumping off point, they need to come with something and do it amazingly. This is why I've said from the beginning what they need to do is forget all this Batman versus Superman crap, make Man of Steel 2, wrap up what happened in the first film, set up Justice League, do Justice League, and then
it needs to be a 10-year plan.
Yeah, well, right, but
exactly.
At the end of Justice League, kind of do what Avengers did, where they said, oh, well, they're going to go off and do their own thing, and we'll have to call them back here when we need them. If Man of Steel 2 happens, takes care, which it probably won't, I'm only speculating here, if Man of Steel 2 happens, takes care of what the hell happened in the first friggin' movie, sets up Justice League, they do Justice League, and then Justice League will branch off into the next Batman, the next whatever. That's the way I think they need to do it. But I don't think Hollywood at large will allow them to do that, because if it's not quick, and get it done, no one's going to care.
Yeah, because like typically in Hollywood, you have 2 or 3 years to make your movie, and then you're fucked. What I think the problem is with the DC universe is Man of Steel was not a good movie to start a franchise with. However, it is the movie Superman needed to make him relevant again. Because Bryan Singer's Superman Returns left a lot of fans not feeling happy about it. And a lot of the modern Superman fans think of Smallville. So they wanted to turn away the whiny Superman into this brooding powerhouse who's learning about his... Basically, they wanted to Nolanize Superman.
Yeah.
And you don't start a movie franchise like that. You need a Jon Favreau. Because the advantage about Iron Man 1, when you look at it, it's a fairly light movie.
Fairly fresh, too.
Yeah, it's something... Tony Stark is a likable character. Tony Stark, as Robert Downey Jr.'s portrayal as him, it's got just enough comedy in it. It's got just enough action. It creates the right atmosphere. The film can stand on its own if it has to.
Mm-hmm.
With Man of Steel, it tried to be a franchise setter, and I think it failed. But it did bring in money. It did get people talking about Superman. The thing is, I don't want that Superman in my Justice League. In my opinion. I do not want Zack Snyder's.
He's better than Ralph.
Yeah. But...
Okay. You say you don't want that Superman. You mean you don't want that portrayal. Not necessarily Henry Cavill. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If they put... I don't know how, because I'm betting... See, this is what I'm betting is, okay, you've set all these Marvel movies up, and then, boom, you've got Joss Whedon, the master TV director of all time, or whatever you want to call the guy, to do Avengers. So here's what I'm thinking they're going to do. They're going to automatically, in motion, put Snyder as the director for a lot of the big DC stuff.
I hope not. And that's going to be their downfall.
Yep.
That'd be bad.
Zack Snyder's new 52.
which is depressing, because you know what? Zack Snyder has done some good work. Just say what you will about 300. It was fun. Watchmen, I think, was friggin' great.
Yeah, Watchmen I really loved from Snyder. But other than that, I didn't really love any of his films.
Yeah, like everything else has been hit or miss. I mean, Sucker Punch was a fucking 2-hour music video.
Oh, God,
and
no.
It's one of those things where I don't know. And I think Marvel has pushed DC so far to the wall that anything we get out of DCU is either going to seem like copycat or they're playing catch-up.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate. But anyway, guys, that is all the time we have for today. This could easily blossom into a 2-hour discussion.
Oh, my God, yes,
but,
it could.
I have to go to Toronto to appear on News Talk 1010. I'll probably post the interview up on the website later on this week, so be looking for that. So, Blanchard, anything you want to promote?
I've gone crazy. The month of May, the Pull Bag will be celebrating 75 years of Batman with 13 podcasts.
Wow.
Covering The Dark Knight Returns, Year One, Killing Joke, some New 52 stuff, some Beware the Batman stuff. the new weekly series Batman Eternal. We've got our 5-year contest going on. I will email the link to Mike so he can put it in the show notes so you can go to that. Basically, our 5-year contest is if you email us feedback at geekcastradio.com and send, you know, tell us over the last 5 years what we've done that has affected you and why you like us as a network, you could be entered into winning one of two prize packs, which includes movies, DVDs, trade paperbacks, comics, all kinds of cool stuff. So we've got that going on. It's going to be very awesome.
And then you, Roebuck, you, me, and Scotty are working on bringing back Movie Madness, hopefully shortly.
Hopefully. And I'll be looking forward to that.
And then we're going to hopefully have Andrew on an episode of These Warriors Are Terrible, hopefully sometime in the next month or two, depending on the record schedule. So anything else that I might be missing?
Not really, other than if you're reading Superior Spider-Man or the new upcoming Amazing Spider-Man and you're wondering what I think about it, you can read my reviews at SpidermanCrawlSpace.com.
Excellent stuff. All right, guys, so that's going to do it for us here at This Week in Geek. Once again, big thanks to our sponsors of OffWorldDesigns.com, GameAccess.ca, BigAndTallMart.com, SFI.org, OneUpYourLife.com, and I'm pretty sure I haven't missed anybody. So anyway, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, make mine Marvel.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my god, there's snot on my face! And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub, and I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f does that mean? F that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh god.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.